This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello and welcome to The Complete Guide to Everything, a podcast about everything. I'm one of your hosts, Tom.
And I'm Tim.
Tim, how are you doing today, this day?
Tom, this day I am doing well. It's the summertime and I've been having fun in the sun.
Oh, it's great to hear. Have you been going to the beach?
I went to the beach once this summer.
Mm-hmm.
About a month ago.
A lot of sharks lately. You see all this about the sharks?
Yeah. Tom, have you ever been afraid of a shark?
Yeah, I've been afraid of a shark. I've been afraid of a shark in a swimming pool.
No, I know. But have you ever been in a swimming pool with a shark?
Not that I'm aware of, but I've gone
Mark Cuban or Barbara Corcoran.
Oh, no, I haven't been in a pool with
a lot of high class parties with the sharks.
From Shark Tank, you're talking
pool
about.
Pool parties.
The television.
Kevin
show.
O'Leary.
Yeah, I bet he
Robert
looks hot,
Hershevek.
Topless. Mr. Wonderful. Yeah. Mr. Wonderful Body. Is
he wears
like
one
it.
Of those one-piece suits from the 1920s.
Or one of those like swim shirts. And it's like, oh, I don't want to get sunburned.
Yeah. Yeah, right, Mr. Yeah, Wonderful. Right.
You want everybody to see your boobies, Mr. Wonderful, and figure out where that name came from, Mr. Wonderful. See how wonderful those boobs are. Anyway, how are you doing? You already told me.
Yeah, I've been having fun in the sun. How are you doing this week, Tom?
Pretty good, Tim. Can't complain.
You weren't ready for me to ask that question, I guess.
No. Well, because I answered this question before we met today. And I told you, I've been seeing a lot of movies lately, so I've been enjoying that.
Great.
We were talking about Barbie beforehand, but... But that's not this episode.
Tom, we saw Barbie in the same theater.
In the same building, not the same theater.
Right. Same night.
The same movie theater.
What, you went to the 7:30 show?
Yeah, I think so.
Alone, as I recall. And I went to the 8:45.
With all your friends.
With all of our friends. Yeah, they just didn't.
Yeah, there weren't enough tickets. I had to go to an earlier show by myself.
And then next week, Tom, you and I are going to a 10:30 a.m. showing
of Oppenheimer.
Oppenheimer. Yeah. IMAX 70mm.
I was confused. I thought the movie was called Weisenheimer. I was very excited about, you know,
the Three Stooges kind of.
Seeing, you know, just 2.5 hours, some Weisenheimer up to his tricks.
In IMAX 70.
In IMAX. Holy cow. Yeah.
Movie's 3 hours long on the dot.
3 hours?
Yeah.
Wow. All right.
We're going to get in there at 10:30 a.m., Tom.
Yeah.
There's going to be, what, 20 minutes of previews?
Yeah, about that. Usually.
So we're going to get out at like 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
To right. The harsh sun.
Yeah. Probably have to pee real bad unless we go during the movie.
Tom, do you pee every 3 hours? And people are like, oh, how am I going to get through this movie? Like, what kind of sick I mean, there are some people that do have to pee, but like, come on, Eric, you can hold it if you're watching a movie.
Well, not if I'm drinking a ton of soda.
Well,
which
stop
I
drinking
like
all that soda.
I'm
going
to
the drink
movies.
A lot of soda too.
That's one of the great things about going to the movies.
10:30 in the morning, Tom, I'm still getting Sour Patch Kids and freaking
well, if you got popcorn,
Dr.
the popcorn's
Pepper.
Salty, so you're drinking the soda.
No, the popcorn, the salt in the popcorn will soak up all the...
No, it's not the way it works.
I think it is. But then you had to poop.
I don't think I've ever had to poop in the middle of a movie.
Hmm.
Thank God.
Well, when you've been watching at home, probably.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm watching at home all the time, but never in the theater, because that would really suck. Because, like, peeing's inconvenient, but it's like, all right, I can be very quick as long as I know where the bathroom is.
Right.
Sometimes, especially in New York, I think you get some of these theaters where it's like, oh, the bathroom's actually 5 stories up.
Yeah.
And that sucks.
Tom, I was the worst cinema peeing experience I had was I was seeing the movie Inglourious Basterds, Quentin Tarantino's World War II film. And spoiler alert for Inglourious Basterds, but it came out like 15 years ago, so I think we're okay. I had to pee so bad, and it was one of those things
that's
where it's like,
Tim, that's not a spoiler.
I'm not gonna make it. And it like became like an emergency
right
towards the end of the movie. Go out to pee. While I'm out peeing, they kill Hitler in the movie. It's a whole scene where they like finally they like they kill Hitler, and it's a whole thing. They rewrote history or whatever. I come back and I was like, what happened?
You're like, I know how World War II ended. I know what happened.
That's kind of what I felt.
Yeah.
And the person was like, you idiot.
Did they tell you, like, they killed him with a flamethrower? And you were like, no, they didn't.
Yeah, I think so. I don't know. It was a bad move on my part. To this day, love the movie.
Yeah.
Haven't seen that part.
I think I kind of have the opposite problem at movies, where if I begin to feel like I have to pee, then I'm like, shh, I should go right now. I should go right now, because I'm going to wait and then a cool part's going to happen. And then I'm really not going to want to go. So that's like a different kind of neurotic, where like I've done this sometimes where I've like run out to go to the bathroom and like barely done anything.
Out.
Like something comes out, but not much.
Yeah.
And then it's like, I didn't have to desperately pee to do that.
Yeah. No, that's the way I live my life, where it's like, if I had to do anything, like if I'm like, well, I need to go get like an egg sandwich at the deli.
Yeah.
Well, before I do that, this is going to be 6 minutes. I should make sure that I don't have to pee.
Right. I'll live my life one piss at a time.
The other thing is, like, when you wait the whole time, and it's the climax of the movie, I can hear them killing Hitler through the wall, but, like, I've been holding it so long, it's like, you ever have to be like, come on, pee, get out, like, and it's like, it's
yeah, where even as you're peeing, there's still, like, not relief yet.
Yeah.
Tom, come on, pee, get out. And they're here in the movie theater. They're watching Hitler being killed. They're hearing some guy yell through the wall, come on, pee, get out.
Yelling about his piss.
Is he yelling at his piss or his dick? Who is he blamed for this?
Another thing that happened to me recently is I used an all-gender bathroom in an office building when I really, really had to pee.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, all right, that's cool. Like, walk into the stall. There's somebody. There's a woman there.
I've seen Hallie McBeal.
Is that a thing?
Yeah, they had a gender-neutral bathroom.
But, like, it was, you know, a whole bunch of stalls. There was a woman there doing her makeup.
Mm-hmm.
I did feel like I really had to pee. So, like, I went into the stall. I peed for like, I don't know, 13 minutes straight. And I was like, this is embarrassing. Like,
what are you doing, frying up chicken in there?
Yeah, exactly. And I was like, well, surely she'll be gone by the time I get out. No, she's still out there doing it. I just had to like sheepishly wash my hands next to her.
Yeah, I've gone to the bathroom in like some like gender neutral bathrooms in like, you know, corporate offices or whatever. Not often, but I've had this happen a few times where, the time I'm thinking of was at YouTube's offices.
Okay.
And like I went.
You were there to protest being deplatformed.
I was there to speak to the CEO about being deplatformed. No, I was there as a guest of the Gregory Brothers for they were doing a holiday concert there. So probably the people that work there were already like, ugh, what's this guy doing here? He doesn't work here. But they had like a gender neutral bathroom, but I didn't realize that. I walked in and there were like a few women like at the sink washing hands,
gossiping, probably
something like that. And I was like, oh my God, I'm sorry. And then like walked out and then looked for the men's room, saw the sign, and was like, no, that is the right place. Now I guess I just have to go back in there and pretend like I'm a different guy that didn't just do that.
I mean, look, as we move towards a society.
I peed in the stairwell. It was fine. Good.
Yeah. After what they did to you at YouTube.
Exactly.
That was your livelihood, Tom.
That's what I was screaming at them. This is how I make my money. Give me my money.
Espousing dangerous opinions.
Yeah. Yeah. You guys hate free speech? Anyway, Tim, this week we're using our free speech to talk about a very controversial topic, boogie boards.
Boogie boards.
Or as I like to call them, bougie boards.
Really?
I'm too poor to buy a boogie board, Tim. So that's what I call them.
Well, when I was a kid, boogie boards were a hot property, Tom.
Yeah.
And you didn't want to just get that same freaking boogie board as everybody else got. You know what I'm talking about? The base model Mori boogie one?
No, I don't know.
It was blue and yellow.
Oh,
it was
okay.
All foam. Yeah. Look, we need to take a step back here.
Yes, yeah.
Boogie boards or body boards.
Now, I got confused earlier because you were talking about body boarding and you were right. I was confused with body surfing.
Right.
Which is a different thing. Body surfing is no accessories required.
Right.
That's just a wave
it's
comes.
It's swimming along with a wave. You're riding a wave.
You ride a wave. No accessories required.
Yeah. Like they did in olden times.
Yeah. And look, it's fun, but it's not nearly as fun as other ways to ride a wave.
Right. Boogie boarding or body boarding, general term for laying on or riding a small board in the water.
Yeah. That about
it's not
sums it
surfing.
Up. No.
Because it's not this big long board that you're eventually going to stand up on. Although I have seen people stand up on boogie boards.
Well, that's dangerous. They shouldn't do that.
But it likely originated, this is from beachlifeexpert.com, Tom, which is like my home page. Yeah. Bodyboarding likely originated in Polynesia, where people would ride on a board, laying on their stomach, or kneeling.
Yeah.
Those knee boards that you see at the beach. It's like, guys, enough.
With the knee boards?
Yeah.
Are you
that doesn't seem fun.
The ones, like the skim boards?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that, look, it's very dangerous to stand on one of those boards, but that's the cool way to ride
it. Yeah, you're always worried about danger.
Also,
I'm worried about living life and having some freaking fun once in a while, Tom.
Skim boards, for people that aren't familiar with them, are like circular. I think they're usually like wood. But
yeah, I think they're wooden.
But I guess they probably could be fiberglass. And you just kind of like throw it like a frisbee as the waves are like going back in. But the sand is wet. Right? Or as the waves coming in, maybe.
And then you run up onto them.
You like run and you throw the board and it's like skipping along. And then you jump on it and I don't know, you slide for... I mean, some people can go pretty far in them.
You get a little bit of a thrill.
You get a little bit of a thrill.
Tom, you're not a thrill seeker like me.
No, it just always seemed to me like skim boards, you're doing like a lot of work for that little moment of thrill.
Well, that's life, man. And that's what makes that moment of thrill so thrilling. If it was all thrill, Tom, it would all be mundane.
But like,
you need the peaks. You need the valleys to have the peaks.
When you're surfing or boogie boarding, you're not being thrilled the whole time. But you're hanging out in the water. You're like, yeah, it is still pretty nice. I'm just kind of bobbing along in the water here.
Have you ever surfed?
I've never surfed in my life.
Have you ever even? Did you ever even hang 10?
Tim, I haven't even hung 5.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really sad.
I was supposed to take surfing lessons one time when I was in Ireland, because that's the place famous for surfing.
Actually, there is some good surfing. Have you ever watched this HBO show, 100 Foot Wave?
No.
That's really good.
Sounds too scary.
It's a documentary series,
Tom. I think I have heard about that.
Tom, watch it. It's great.
Okay. No, I mean, it was a very cool beach and,
it makes you feel like if you watch a few episodes of it, it's like, I'm pretty much a surfer now. Like, I know, like the way that I said, with authority, like just now, like, no, Ireland actually is a pretty cool surfing destination.
It's 'cause you feel like you're a surfer
now.
Yeah, it's
like, oh, Tim knows. He's watched 5 hours of a HBO show.
No, I mean, it did look like a good place to surf. It was very rocky, which I thought seemed not ideal. But
again, it's about the thrill, man.
Yeah, yeah. But ultimately, it was like I would have had to like get up too early in the morning, so I didn't do it.
But were you a boogie boarder, body boarder?
Yes, I did. I did have a boogie board when I was a kid. I never had, I don't think I ever had like a Mori. I never had like a nice one. I never had like an official one. I always wanted nicer ones, but I think my parents wouldn't get me one because they were like, you're going to lose it or break it. Because right. I think I did break a few boogie boards.
You broke a boogie board.
Yeah. But again, it was like,
that's because they're buying you. They like were cheap, buying me the cheap ones. Styrofoam crap or whatever. Yeah,
exactly. So I was like, no,
get this... something with some integrity there.
Yeah.
And Tom won't freaking, I don't know, what were you doing on this thing?
I mean, every time I every time I broke a boogie board, it was because like a wave just broke like, what do they call them? I have it written down here because I was looking about it, something else. I think like closeout waves, they call them. But it's just like waves that just kind of like suddenly break all at once.
Mm, you just kind of...
You just kind of like go into a nosedive, yeah.
And like when you came out of the water with a board...
Yeah, in two pieces.
In two pieces, where your parents like, that could have been Tommy's spine.
Nah, because they knew. They're like, yeah, he's got more than a styrofoam spine. Mm. I do remember, though, as like a kid, like one or two times in particular, wiping out. Probably not even because I was surfing. It was just like the wave hit me. I was standing there and it being like bad. Where you know, I was like underwater being thrown all around. I was like, oh boy, I better get up to the surface soon. I'm running out of air. And then another wave hits.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh no, what is happening? I don't know which way is up. I remember like landing on my face a few times, like landing on my head in ways where I thought like, oh no, like I could have broken my back.
Tom, do you know about dry drowning?
No. Is that drowning in not water?
It's after you've been... So,
is this like when... is this something I have to worry about when I take like a sip of water and it goes down the wrong pipe?
I think so. No, this is conversation at the playground with another dad of a toddler. When we're watching our kids...
I thought you were going to say conversation at the playground you were having with one of your infant or toddler son's friends.
No, this is another dad. This is dad talk. And we were talking about like going to the beach and stuff and how we were both like, you know, apprehensive.
Basically surfers.
Both basically surfers. He had watched a few episodes of 100 Foot Wave as well. But like how our kids were both into going into the ocean and how that like scared us because they're little. And he's like, so you know about dry drowning? It's like, no. And he's like, well, I'm about to tell you and it's going to keep you up at night too. After like if you're like saved from drowning and you've been taken out, and this happens in kids a lot, after taking in water through the nose or mouth, the muscles in your windpipe can become constrained to protect your lungs, and you drown, like, your windpipe closes up. Mm-hmm. It can be up to, I think, 36 hours after, like, you've been underwater. Your stupid body's like, oh, you might still be drowning, so let's, like, constrict the windpipe.
Look, if you got a body that stupid, it's going to kill you some other way.
Kids have stupid bodies sometimes.
Nah, kids got smart bodies.
They don't know yet, these bodies. They're new.
They know. How often does... Tim, I was a lifeguard. I never heard of dry drowning.
Well, this is concerning to me.
You just believe whatever nonsense some other Brooklyn dad tells you.
I believe a lot of things that Brooklyn dads tell me. Did you believe... can I tell you, Tom?
Vaccines
make you sicker.
He probably told you, like, no, trust me. I watched 100 Foot Wave. I know a lot about surfing. Never heard of dry drowning.
Well, Tom,
if it's a
I don't
thing,
know what to freaking tell you. Healthline.com just confirmed it.
Is this
for
why
me.
You stopped bathing your child, Tim?
Yeah, that is why I stopped
he
bathing. I know he stinks. I wish I could do something about it.
He smells like a 15-year-old. I don't even understand it.
Give him sponge baths.
Such awful body odor. It's like onions.
Yeah. Well. You know, when it's your own kid, it's like,
it's a beautiful smell.
It really is. Anyway, enough about dry drowning. We're talking about boogie boarding.
Yeah.
Tom, why do we call it boogie boarding?
I'll tell you why, Tim, because this guy, Tom Morey,
mm-hmm.
who later changed his name to the letter Y.
I didn't know that. He passed away in 2021.
Yeah, and he was
2021.
He was 86 years old.
Yeah.
So it was like, great. You know, he lived a full life. It sounds like I think when he was like in his 60s when he changed his name to Y. This was his reasoning. Tom pulled the consulting plug in January of 1999. He was consulting for various companies.
Mm-hmm.
Founded softshell surfboard manufacturing company Starwaves and changed his name to Y. I've been more Y all my life.
Oh, I see. M-O-R-E-Y is his last name. Yeah.
I'm finally going seriously after getting rid of more, so just plain Y does it. Which is like, huh?
Getting rid of more.
Yeah.
Huh. I forget this. I forget who the subjects were of this anecdote.
Mm-hmm.
But there were some cool entertainers
at
a party in the Hamptons.
Okay.
In the 70s, I think, or the 60s. And they were looking at like all this, like this really rich guy. They were like one of the richest guys. He had all this art and he had all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And one guy remarked to the other guy, man, this guy has so much. This guy has so much more than I do.
Mm-hmm.
And his friend said to him, you have something this man does not have.
And was it like the guy's wife or something? Is this like an indecent proposal situation?
And I'm
going to broker a deal.
You have something this man does not have. Enough.
Wow.
And I think what Mr. Morey was trying to do here is saying, why are we trying to get more, more, more? Why do I want more? Why?
Yeah.
Shouldn't I just be content with why?
Yeah. I guess. It's kind of...
Yeah, I don't know what this fucking idiot was talking about. He had so much money, too, at this point, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's basically it, that he was like, oh, I can just be a weird guy like I've always wanted to be. Maybe he was the victim of dry drowning and, you know, he'd lost some brain cells and was...
No, dry drowning will freaking kill you, Tom.
Well, it won't always kill you. Sometimes it will just starve your brain of oxygen.
How do you know? You hadn't heard about this, despite being a certified lifeguard.
I'm not certified. I think my certification ran out like 25 years ago.
Tom Morey
mm-hmm.
built the first boogie board in July 1971.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't realize that it was that recent.
Yeah.
I mean, that's 50 years ago.
Yeah,
but it's not that. But I thought, like, oh, this probably is, like, as old as surfing. Which,
well,
like, it kind of is.
Like I said,
mm-hmm.
in Polynesia, they were doing this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, they had, I think they were called, like, A-L-A-I? Something like that. Oh, Alia. A-L-A-I-A. Alia? But it was like a similar thing. But they were still... The thing is, these were way longer than boogie boards. But then you look at what these guys were surfing on. They were like 20 feet long. So it's like, oh yeah, compared to that... This is shorter to a modern American looking at it. It's like, oh, that thing's like only a little bit shorter than a surfboard. But I'm thinking of an American surfboard, not like a Polynesian surfboard.
Yeah. And you're angry about the length of these surfboards, right?
No, but I was reading about this one type of surfboard. I forget. It began with an O. But it was like a surfboard that was reserved for like kings. Like only kings would ride it.
Kings would never surf.
Tim, this thing was just like a 2x4 that was 20 feet long. And they would surf on it somehow.
Huh. Well, kings are...
And it weighed 165 pounds.
165? How did it even float?
I don't... Because
I
it was so long.
I guess the weight was distributed, yeah.
Yeah. And they're like, only kings rode these because they were so hard to ride. It's like, and a king was good at it? Kings aren't good at anything. I guess these kings were.
Tom Morey, he was an inventor.
Yes.
He like invented a lot of things, or like puttered around and like tried to invent a lot of stuff.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
like
he's
a
one
job
of these
that
guys.
You can't have nowadays, right?
Yeah.
There's no guy that's just like, let me, like, you know, like how you would get like in a movie, like, and then I stumbled upon Flubber.
You know, that's not a real story about Flubber, Tim.
You know, not that we know of, because like the government keeps Flubber under wraps.
Well, that's true. I believe he's still with us. This guy who, you ever have coffee? You ever use that thing called the AeroPress?
Yeah, I know the AeroPress.
It's basically,
I accidentally threw mine out in a move.
Wow, I thought you were gonna say a movie. I thought you were making up a lie. For anybody that's not familiar with this thing, it's a pretty small. It's like two plastic pieces that one goes inside the other. It's, I don't know, like the size of a big roll of toilet paper, or not the roll, the tube.
Mm-hmm.
And it's essentially a manual espresso machine. You press down on it and it's a very tight fit and it squeezes.
I was never able to get good tasting coffee out of this thing.
Oh, I liked mine. I was able to get good tasting coffee, but what made me think of it is the guy who invented the AeroPress. He, a few years ago, there were all these different methods going around when cold brew coffee became a big thing. Like, oh, how do you do it with the AeroPress? It's not possible, or you have to do it this way. It's more complicated than just making it. And apparently the actual inventor, like, he's like, oh, I went into my garage, you know, it's where I do all my tinkering with the AeroPress and my other inventions. And like, he found a way to make it that made sense, and that became the like standard way to make. And this was, you know, I don't know, 30, 40 years later or something crazy. Yeah. But that guy made me think like, oh, that's like an inventor guy. He invented this thing.
Like a Flubber type of inventor.
Yeah.
A nutty professor.
He invented this thing. It's become a huge thing for coffee snobs. But even so, they refuse to make like a nicer version of it. It's still just plastic and rubber. It's, I don't know, like $30 maybe. And any other company by now would have been like, all right, well, we make an aluminum one and a glass one and a titanium one.
Yeah.
You know, these people would buy it.
Gold one for,
And especially like the high
bad
end
people,
the high end coffee market where you can people are looking for things to spend their money on.
Yeah.
The fact that this guy, I guess, still has some say and was like, no, this is how we make it. And we're not making they make like a newer, I think maybe like a little more portable version, but that's it.
Maybe I'll give it another shot. Should I get really into being like a coffee guy? I drink so much coffee, Tom.
Sounds like you already are a coffee guy.
Yeah, but I just, you know, what's your coffee setup? What are you what are you brewing these days? Like, what machine are you using device?
Just a regular old coffee maker.
Like a Mr. Coffee?
Yeah, like a Mr. Coffee. Grind my own beans.
Okay.
But, and get, I guess, like decent beans. But that's like the extent of the craziness for the most part. I'll occasionally make like cold brew or whatever overnight, that's about it.
I got one of these that you put the beans in and then it grinds the beans it in the thing. Mm-hmm. And it's nice, Tom. I'll tell you what's great about this. You set a timer on
It just does it.
And it grinds the beans in the morning. And you wake up to a lovely, I mean, I guess you can do that and just manually grind the beans the night before.
Yeah, but the grinder's loud.
The grinder's loud.
You don't want to do it late at night.
Wakes you up in the morning. It's a good alarm clock, too.
It's true. And then you saw, what is that?
You put it right in the bed next to you, too. You don't have to go far.
I think maybe, you know, maybe.
If you're an inventor, if you're a tinkerer, you build a little shelf in the middle of your bed between you and your fiance.
I don't think you have to do it in the bed. You could do it on like the nightstand.
But this way, you don't have to even, it's right there for you.
Yeah, then I wouldn't have to lean
over
to hand her.
You could put a little hook for your coffee mug.
Yeah.
So you can put that there.
Are you like a I have to drink at a certain coffee mugs type of guy?
No, but I...
Like you have your favorites?
You know what? Just by dint of, like, working from home, right. And, like, I have way more coffee cups than I use.
Yeah.
I got a rotation of, like, 3 coffee cups, even though there's, like, 15 in the cabinet.
Yeah, that's the case for me. I'm thinking about it, that there's, like, 3 coffee mugs that I go to consistently.
What are they?
One is a happy 30th birthday coffee mug.
I know that one. I've seen you drink out of it.
Yeah. One is a yellow mug with a dog that looks like Ginger on it.
I know that one. Okay.
And then one is, do you remember we went to, water park together that had, called the Zoom Flume?
Oh, the first kind of house that we all got. Yeah.
And I liked it so much, I bought a coffee
mug. You bought
mug
a
there.
Mug?
Yeah.
Nice.
And I use that mug, and it's a great mug because it's big. Now, if you're thinking about Friend Central Perk, no, it's not that big.
Guys, I wish we could afford mugs that
it's
big.
It's reasonable. But it is bigger than usual, and it's wider than usual, so I feel like it cools off a little bit quicker.
Nice.
Because I drink black coffee, it's super
it's too hot sometimes,
so I have to wait for it to cool. So having a wider mug, it cools a little bit quicker.
You know what I do sometimes?
What?
I pour myself a mug of coffee, walk my kid to daycare,
yeah,
come back, takes like 35 minutes or something, and then it's like, hey, that's when my coffee's at
yeah
its
I'll
best.
Do that. I'll walk the dog. I like pour a cup and then walk the dog and come back, and actually usually it's still too hot.
Hey, more coffee talk after the break.
This HeadGum podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Okay, so Tom, we've been talking about boogie boards this whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
When Tom Morey built the first boogie board...
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't called a boogie board. You want to know what he wanted to call it?
Oh, a snake.
The snake.
Yeah, and what did that stand for?
It was an acronym for the parts of the body that you use to ride it. Side, navel, arm, knee, elbow. That's the dumbest thing ever. That's the dumbest thing I ever did.
I mean, it's certainly a stretch. It's not, you don't hear what it stands for and go, oh, yeah, brilliant.
But also, like,
But I think it would have been
the parts of the body that you use to ride it. The side.
Yeah.
Like, this is one of those things where it's like, oh, okay, let's see. You use your neck.
Yeah.
I guess. No, you don't even use your... Look, in as much as, like,
look around,
use all these things to, like, walk.
Anything. Yeah,
yeah, it's like, yeah, you know, your body moves when you do things.
Look, you have to admire the guy wanting people to be able to say, hey, man, you surf? No, man, I snake.
Yeah,
that's pretty... Oh, all right. All right, man. Well, I'm not looking for a problem. Just leave me alone.
Check out my tattoo of my snake board.
Yeah, and it's just it's a boogie board.
It's a boogie board.
But he named it after Boogie Woogie Jazz, I think I read.
Yeah, exactly. He's a drummer, Tom.
Yeah, jazz drummer.
It's a jazz drummer. Yeah, that's what he does a lot. That's kind of like his style, right?
Yeah, that's when you know, the beat poets just made a point. And he does that little fill.
You know these like Bill Murray and like Dan Aykroyd movies. Mm-hmm. Like I'm thinking of
Stripes.
No, I'm thinking of Ghostbusters, but also like a lot of those movies with like those like John Landis and like Harold Ramis movies. Mm-hmm. I mean, did they all like that piano like boogie woogie music? The do 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 do. Doot, 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 because that's in, like, all of those movies.
Yeah, maybe, I guess.
Did they think, like, yeah, this part's going to be fucking cool, and so what we got to do is get the doot, 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 doot,
doot, doot, doot, doot, doot. I don't, were you, that's Ghostbusters, doot, 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 doot.
Yeah.
It's
not all freaking, ba-da-na-na-na-na.
Yeah, I mean, there's, like, some piano stuff in there.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah, I guess
the same boogie woogie.
It was
that inspired the boogie board.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool music.
And boogie in your butt.
Excuse me? It's a song?
Yeah.
Okay. And now I don't need to hear
in
it.
In your butt, put the boogie in your butt, put the boogie, put the boogie in your butt. In your butt, put the boogie in your butt.
Okay, well, that's pretty good.
Put the boogie in your butt.
It's jazz.
It's just boogie woogie.
But yeah, this guy was I mean, that kind of explains how, like, later on in life when he was just like kind of consulting, like he got back into just playing music.
Right.
He does sound like a really interesting guy in that before he made like boogie boards and stuff, he was just, you know, a jazz guy, a jazz drummer and a surfer. But like work for Lockheed Martin, I think, or something as like a composite materials expert.
These are things you can do, the cognitive dissonance in the 60s, where it's right. Like, and also like what like engineer or whatever at like Lockheed Martin these days is like, and on like he has free time for like non-evil things.
Yeah, he has cool hobbies like creating new surfboards and being a jazz drummer.
Yeah. It'd be cool to have hobbies. Do you have hobbies, Tom?
No, I keep thinking about getting one.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, I play video games sometimes. I guess that's a hobby. Like, I read books sometimes.
Like,
that's
a hobby.
I know
people that are like, hey, every Thursday night I go out and play basketball with a group of people.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, I don't do anything like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Every Thursday I come here and fucking sit in this room with you and talk about boogie boards.
I always think like I should get some kind of like
coffee. We should become coffee guys.
Maybe. I was gonna say like a creative hobby, but like I do creative stuff in other things.
This is the shit. This is the thing, man. You can't do a creative hobby without being like, well, I should monetize it. I should turn it into a business.
Yeah.
But like people that we know who are like, hey, I go play basketball with a bunch of people. They're not like, and then maybe I'll go pro and start getting paid for
maybe not
at
the 43, NBA,
I think.
But some supplemental
the Washington
income.
Generals or something.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's probably my problem that I think like, well, if I'm doing like a creative hobby, like I kind of got into like 3D printing. I'm looking at my don't make guns.
Bring through metal detectors.
No, but like, you know, like there were I got into it for a while and I was making stuff, but then I started thinking like, oh, I should like make stuff and sell it on Etsy.
Yeah.
And then it's like, well, now that's just a business, but I don't,
then that's
but I
work.
Don't.
Then it's not a hobby anymore.
Yeah. But that's the thing. That's like my mindset that I can't do a hobby purely for just like the enjoyment of that. Unless it's like a very low lift hobby, like reading books or playing a video game.
Yeah.
But to do something like basketball or whatever, I mean, I don't like basketball, so I'd never do that. But I would be thinking, well, why am I doing this? What is my goal here? Am I going to try and go pro? No. All right. So fuck it. I won't even do it.
That's my thing, too. Yeah. It's like, well, and I'm not the best at anything. But yeah. It's like, well, if I'm not going to be the best at this, why am I going to do it? It's like, you've never been the best at anything before.
Yeah, and I don't think I'm like a workaholic that's like, well, I can't be doing something unless I'm being 100% productive.
You just start lifting weights.
I don't know what happened. Dude, yeah, lift weights and then we get beat up the nerds with the hobbies.
Yeah.
Get a job, nerd. Find a way to monetize this.
Good friend of ours, of mine.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to speak for you. Right. I don't want to speak for you.
Okay.
Just started or has been lifting weights for like the last year. I haven't seen him.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, you were telling me. Yeah.
Has he been on the show? Maybe he has.
I don't think so.
Anyway, and
you're in a band with Ose.
Yeah.
You drummed in his band.
Much like Tom Morey, I was drumming in Ose's Boogie Woogie band. And he started, you know, he was never a weightlifter.
Yeah.
And he's lifting weights. He was like, he showed up at my house. I was like, I thought he was going to kick my ass.
He showed up at my house and beat the shit out of me.
Stole my wife. My wife left
with him. He said, I'm finally significantly bigger than you.
Yeah.
I've been working out. I got one of those, I responded to one of those ads in the back of an old comic book about
the 98 pound weakling.
Yeah, going from a geek to a freak.
Yeah.
To get my revenge on you, and here I am.
When he showed up, Tom, I never wished more that I took you up on your offer for that 3D gun that you printed.
Plastic gun. Tim, I never, you know, and I, there was one day where I thought about printing a 3D gun just to, like, mess with you. Just to be
just to shoot and kill you.
No, just be like, hey, look, don't tell anyone, but look what I made. But then I was like, oh, somehow I'll get in trouble with this. I'm not going to do it.
I mean, nobody's going to get in trouble, but I think I would have been like, I don't think I'm going to go over to Tom's anymore.
No, I was like worried.
Back to Zoom.
I was like, I'm going to download this file and the FBI is going to come
knock
on my door tomorrow.
Yeah, of course, as well they should.
No, they shouldn't for downloading a file. Freedom of speech.
You wouldn't download a car.
You would download a gun if you could get one.
Yeah.
Be pretty neat. No, I watched a thing about, because there's basically nowadays like competitive 3D gun making.
Cool. Love where society's going.
I think I read like a Vice thing about it, but it was interesting to watch in that the people doing it, I think, weren't even necessarily like gun nuts. They were just like huge nerds that were basically just trying to like optimize.
I'm sorry, but like... Oh, huge nerds are just getting on their computers and doing shit has not really worked out for us in the 21st century.
It's always been fine. And look, there were tons of problems. You don't want to 3D print a gun. It's there are easier ways to get guns in America.
Yeah, unfortunately.
That will work way more reliably.
You can go to like a big box store.
Yeah,
in
you can
many
just
states.
Go to a Walmart and just buy it. They melt too fast, the plastic.
I trust the extensive research you've
look,
done.
Look, if you're John Malkovich looking to assassinate the president in a movie, and you only need one or two shots, sure.
Yeah.
But after that, it's like, just get a real gun.
You can't get it through security.
Yeah. All right. Well, make a 3D gun. You know what? You don't have to choose. You can have both.
I don't like guns, Tom.
No, I mean, joking aside, I am not. I do like shooting guns. I like going to like a shooting range, but that's it. I don't want to own a gun or anything like that. I think they should get rid of assault weapons, all that. But get
off your soapbox. he called it the Maury Boogie, Tom.
Uh-huh.
He added the word bored later just for marketing.
He was going to call it the Maury Snake, and he didn't think I should call it the Maury Eel.
The Maury Eel?
They're moray eels.
Oh, I didn't know about that.
Yeah. That's what eels. It's a common type of eel.
Eels are fish.
Tim, I've forgotten more about eels than you'll ever know.
Yeah, okay. Do you remember if they're fish or not?
I guess. I mean, it's either that or snakes, right?
That was my next question. If you said, no, they're not fish, idiot, I'd be like, so they're snakes.
Yeah, they got to be fish because then they're sea snakes.
Right.
Right?
Are eels fish?
You ever see sea snakes, like a video of sea snakes?
Yeah.
They're terrifying. It's a snake in the water that can swim.
Everything in the freaking sea is terrifying.
In dolphins?
Yeah.
No, they're nice.
Tom, haven't you seen those signs, those stickers?
What?
Dolphins are people.
Huh? What the hell? What are you talking about? Haven't you seen those signs? Dolphins are people.
No, you haven't seen the signs that say, the stickers mm-hmm. that say dolphins rape people?
Oh, rape people?
Yeah.
No, I haven't seen these signs. Where are you going?
I'm walking around New York City where we're being warned about the dolphins.
Well, there's not too many dolphins in New York City, so you don't really have to worry.
I think a lot of people travel to the tropics, though.
And they need to be warned beforehand. Yeah. There are, like, dolphins pop up in the, I feel like, the Hudson River in the summer sometimes.
Now I search for that phrase. Thinking that I'd see a million of these.
Yeah, I think you made it up.
It's from Aardvark.
There's another
NYC.
Another Aardvark tall NYC. Tale from Tim. The Aardvark NYC. It's probably some pro Aardvark group trying to drag dolphins' names through the mud.
But I think this is the sticker I'm talking about.
Well, I'm saying not everything in the sea is bad, but all snakes are bad.
Right. Eels are fish.
Yeah, I knew it. Because they sell them at fish shops. At, like, fish stores where you buy fresh fish. They got eels there, too.
Yeah, but they sell a lot of other things there, too.
Like what? Seafood?
Sea snakes?
No, they don't sell sea snakes. I mean, I'm sure some places do, but a lot of sea snakes, I think, are very poisonous, which is like, oh, great. It wasn't bad enough.
Snakes don't bother me unless they're poisonous. You got to look at... Non-poisonous snakes or...
Yeah, but you don't know.
I don't know a lot of things, Tom. Same thing with sharks. You were talking about, there's shark attacks. Has mm-hmm. that ever been like, well, I shouldn't go in the water. Somebody has been attacked.
Yeah, but I'm saying.
I'll see that fin and I'll swim away.
But I'm saying
I'll bodyboard right out of the, I'll Maury Boogie right out of the freaking ocean.
You see a snake,
away from this.
You don't know if that snake's poisonous or not.
I know. I don't know a lot of things, Tom.
So I'm saying you should just automatically be afraid.
I see a guy walking down the street. I don't know if he's got a machete and he's going to chop my head off.
Well, you can take a reasonable guess if he's got enough of a. Big enough
he's
bag to hold a machete.
Yeah, a trench coat.
This, I don't know if it was Moray. I think it was a guy he was working with invented the surfboard that you could put in a suitcase.
Okay.
Yeah, in 1965, Carl Pope became his business partner and the name changed again. Moray Pope Surfboards. They built, tested, and marketed Pope's Trisect, a three-piece surfboard that folded into a suitcase. This took care of the problem of, you know, suitcases being very long, kind of unwieldy.
Right.
And not this one. It folds
surfboards
up.
Surfboards being very long. Everybody wasn't like, oh, a suitcase is too long.
No, people were like, a suitcase is the perfect size.
Yeah.
But you look at this thing, it was still pretty big.
It's got like, what, hinges on it and stuff? Like, you're not going to want
it. It kind of looked like,
remember that time you bought that fold-up bike?
Yeah.
And then, we all went out for a bike ride and the rest of us had normal bikes. Yeah. And you're like, oh, I'm just going to turn around and go home because it was so hard to ride.
Well, I got a flat tire. That was the problem.
Yeah. because of the bike folding up?
I mean, it could have not. It could have very well been because of something like that.
Yeah, you didn't get to go to lunch with us that day.
What?
You didn't get to go to lunch with us that day.
Well, all right. Jesus, I've moved on with my life, but apparently you are still upset about it.
I know. I was hoping to order something really expensive, and then we could split the bill several ways. And I was counting on you and not getting something so expensive. Lower the average.
Tim, if we ever went out somewhere, and it was my understanding that we were going to split the bill and you ordered something expensive, I would order two of them.
I'm that freaking asshole. That goes to these parties and it's like, well, I don't want to pay a lot and I know we're going to split the bill. Let me bring down the average and not get something. So I always wind up unhappy and then I pay more than my meal is worth.
Oh.
I mean, that was me in my 20s.
Okay.
Now I just don't go out.
Yeah, I was going to say, I know what's changed. Tim, I know we want to solve a problem today, so I'll make this next part quick. Oh, I had another part, too, about
that. Hey, keep going, Tom. We'll solve the problem next week.
10 reasons why bodyboarding is better than surfing.
Okay, where'd you get this list?
Surfertoday.com.
What?
Yeah.
Freaking turncoats.
I know. You know, it's clickbait,
traitor,
man.
To their class.
They're looking, engagement, get angry comments. And these are like a real stretch. The first one is, whenever you're riding a boogie board, your heart is closer to the water and your eyes are nearly touching the ocean surface. It's like, okay, that's a difference.
This sucks.
Yeah, that's not the one I was going
to. I don't like when people get spiritual about
surfing
and stuff. Yeah.
Well, this is that wasn't actually.
Unless they do it in the context of the TV show, 100-Foot Wave.
That wasn't even actually what I wanted to talk about. What I talk about was eventually boogie boards got sold to Wham-O, the toy company.
Yeah.
They are the current.
Before that, it was sold to Kransko.
those corporate stooges.
They were the first ones to trademark the term boogie board.
Mm.
Well, and they pursued legal action against anyone who used that. But then it kind of became, what's that called? Where like Kleenex and like Xerox.
So, yeah. There is a term for it. I thought I had written it down. Because that's what I wanted to talk about. Because Wham-O, genericized trademarks, it's called.
Okay.
Or generic eyes trademarks. Because listen, Wham-O's been around for 70 years. Here's some of the toys they make: hula hoop, frisbee, slip and slide, super ball, silly string, hacky sack.
They freaking
boogie board.
Get a lawyer, Wham-O. Jesus.
And that's the thing. All these trademarks have become genericized. Because they didn't defend them hard enough. The Wham-O Super Ball, it claims, was the inspiration for naming the Super Bowl. Hmm. And the Super Bowl, you can't say on TV.
We're going to get freaking hauled off.
I know. The big game, we're supposed to say. But a brand that successfully fought trademark erosion is Nintendo.
Ah.
Like when Nintendo first became big in America, and I vaguely remember this, to adults, all video games were Nintendo.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was Nintendo. And Nintendo.
A bunch of freaking oldsters, people that are our age.
And Nintendo worked very hard to be like, no, these are Nintendo video games. And there are other video games. And they, at this point, obviously, we don't call PlayStation games Nintendo or whatever. Idiots,
some of us do. Did you say idiots?
Yeah.
Yeah, some idiots. Not in this room.
But then I fell down a rabbit hole looking into this trademark stuff. Another common practice among trademark owners is to follow their trademark with the word brand to help define the word as a trademark, Johnson & Johnson changed the lyrics of their Band-Aid television commercial jingle from "I am stuck on Band-Aid."
I remember this.
"Because Band-Aid stuck on me," to "I am stuck on Band-Aid brand." Because Band-Aid stuck on me.
Lawyers write lyrics to songs.
Yeah, especially classics like the Band-Aid song.
Stuck on Band-Aid brand.
Yeah.
It's Band-Aid stuck
Band-Aid.
On. Oh, they could have just.
Yeah, because they did. They had to add that. What is there like another note there in the melody?
They just add. It's the same note. I'm stuck on Band-Aid brand.
Yeah. Instead of I'm stuck on Band-Aids.
Yeah.
Because Band-Aid stuck on me.
Yeah.
Stuck on Band-Aid brand. Because Band-Aids. Yeah. It doesn't
they
work.
They have that guy come in and just go
brand. But apparently that's like a pretty common thing nowadays. You know, you stick brand on it. And for some reason that hell, you know, obviously people call bandages Band-Aids like crazy even today. But them just changing that song, maybe some judge took pity on them. And it was like, wow, you ruined that song just to keep your trademark. All right.
Yeah,
we'll let you keep it.
This isn't related. It's tangentially related. But don't you hate at when there's like a conglomerate that has like a million fucking, you know,
like a Johnson & Johnson.
Yeah, S.E. Johnson, right? Yeah. S.E. Johnson, though. And I'm not sure if they still do.
S.E. Johnson, a family company.
Yeah, exactly. A family company. So it's like controlled by the worst billionaire shitheads ever. Yeah. Like, that's all that means, right? Like,
yeah, a family company controlled by the third generation of people who have never had to work a day in their lives.
Yeah. Oh, cool. And oh, yeah, a family runs this?
This, like, you know, 70, 100-year-old company now.
Yeah. A family company. Oh, I revere that.
Wow, this must be some busy family. They make all this stuff. They make talcum powder and Band-Aids. Wow, all right. Yeah, I was going to go with a no-name brand. That good thing you told me. I don't want to give my money to a corporation. I want to give it to a family.
Other former trademarks that have been genericized, Tom.
Mm-hmm.
Dry ice.
Oh, wow, all right.
Flip phone.
Huh.
Motorola originally had that.
Yeah, I mean, that does make sense because they made the first one, that StarTAC, because I had one of those.
Yeah.
And that was like the first flip phone. And I never thought about that I guess they didn't fight hard. You know what? I kind of feel like they probably didn't care about that because then they got like the Razor trademark. So it was like, They were protecting other trademarks, I feel.
Yeah, I'm sure. But, you know, you can write, you know, a lawyer can write another. They could have a template of, like, stop using this word.
Yeah, but like a flip phone, because I was reading about this, too, that it's harder. And now
harder. It's like a pejorative. But coming back.
Yeah. It's harder with things like that where it describes what it is.
Right.
Because it's like, well, like a Nintendo, like, yeah, that sound to an American, that sounds like a nonsense word. But like a flip phone, yeah, it's a phone that flips. Okay. Yeah. You can't be like, well, it's a Ford car and we're trademarking car.
Right. Heroin.
Mm-hmm.
Trademark of Bayer.
Oh, yeah, it makes
until
sense.
The Treaty of Versailles in 1919.
Wow.
Yeah, not all sure right. What happened there, but...
some shit went down.
Yeah, World War I was wild.
Yeah, because I think Bayer still has the trademark on aspirin, but it's been genericized.
Yeah, it's still a Bayer trademark in 80 countries, including Canada. And many countries in Europe, but declared generic in the United States.
That's probably why, like, you know, whenever we're overseas, it's like, oh, do you have any, like, prosalopram or whatever? I forget what it's called. But it's like, what? No, I want aspirin. Not this.
Acetylcysteine.
Yeah, something like that. Acid. There's another paracetamol, something like that. I just know.
You're always buying.
I'm always sick over
you that. Really are. I went to one pharmacy overseas one time. I think it was in Budapest.
Yeah.
Did not go well for me.
How much Viagra can I get for $1,000?
Videotape also trademarked. No longer.
Yeah, that's another one where it's like, well, that's just describing what it is.
Yeah.
Tim, you know about the Whammo Bird Ornithopter?
What the hell is this?
I don't know, but it's in this list of things that they have.
Let's do an episode on Whammo.
Tim, I was looking at Whammo's website. It's all bangers. These guys know what they're doing. And like their brand now, which also makes sense, is that they're like, hey, we're the like play outside company.
Yeah.
Like all our toys are for playing outside. And all their toys, pretty cool stuff. Frisbees, boogie boards, slip and slides. They're all like kind of dangerous, but just not dangerous enough that I feel like they've avoided like significant legal problems.
Yeah.
Because I just remember as a kid, I feel like it was on the news like every week, people were dying on slip and slides. But I think it was always like adults. It was always like drunk adults that day.
I know, but don't you want to get drunk and go on a slip and slide?
Yeah. Like, look, I'm not like, you know, making fun of these people, because if I were drunk, I've never been drunk where a slip and slide's been. If I had been, you'd all be at my memorial service right now. But like, I get that they're like, look, it's not that dangerous for kids, because kids don't like weigh enough to break their neck just by falling right the wrong way for the most part.
You've been too cautious for too long, Tom.
What about
to break you out of your shell
about getting drunk and going on a slip and slide?
Everything.
What
Although
else
one time I was playing at that same house that we rented
with
a bunch of us where we went to that water park. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Remember there was a badminton thing?
Uh-huh.
And I thought I broke my neck because I dove. I was being reckless playing badminton.
Uh-huh.
And I still have neck problems from that, because like I fell backwards and like tucked my head and like rolled backwards, and I felt like a snap, and I was like, oh shit, did I like just paralyze myself playing badminton in this Airbnb? I didn't, but it still all messed up.
I remember I was drunk and lighting fireworks at that house, and I went to run away from one and I slipped and like hit my head. I think I gave myself a concussion and like didn't realize it. And so it was like a dangerous house, it sounds like.
Oh, you got a good mug out of it.
Yeah, that's the most I could ask for.
You ever wax your boogie board?
I beg your pardon, sir?
With sex wax?
What? No.
No, you didn't need to.
No, I had a boogie board that would break if I looked at it the wrong way.
Did you ever wear a wetsuit
No.
when you were boogie boarding?
No, I would have loved to. I think I had like a rash guard top that I would wear sometimes. Cause like I would get rashes. Like I would always not be good at it and just kind of like wipe out in the sand and get all scraped up.
Yeah. I don't know how, like my mom, school teacher, so she had the summers off, and she loves the beach.
But she wore a wetsuit year round.
We'd go to the beach like every day in the summer with like, she'd go with a couple of her friends and their kids, and like I became friendly with their kids. Mm-hmm. And we would just go in like starting at like 8 years old.
Yeah.
With a boogie board running there. Some years we had wetsuits.
Yeah.
I had a cool teal and purple one. You remember when teal and purple was like,
yeah, that was a big color.
Like Charlotte Hornets and San Jose Sharks, man. Like get the starter jacket, get whatever, get the rollerblades.
We found the best combination of colors, everybody.
But like 8 years old, they'd be like, all right, I'm going to go in the water. And they'd be like, cool.
Yeah.
And we'd go in for like hours. The tide would take us like a half mile down the beach. We'd get out and be like, where are our parents? And we'd have to walk all the way back down. And I'm here freaking out about dry drowning.
Exactly. Well, I was going to say, your kids growing up in Brooklyn, we grew up in a beach town.
Yeah.
So we would, you know, we in the summers, like We were just always at the beach. Like, we didn't know each other as little kids, but I was the same. Like, my parents just went to the beach all the time.
You guys were a town beach family, right?
We were a
state beach family, and I don't know why. You guys were over at Gilgo.
No, we usually went to Overlook or Cedar. I always wanted to go to Gilgo because that was a surfing beach.
Right.
Now it's the serial killer beach. So
very cool. Yeah, we stay away from Gilgo Beach. Yeah. I mean, I don't. I'm not really in the demographic.
You're not victims of a serial killer?
Yeah, no, I'm not. Not yet.
If you like the show, you can find out more at tcgte.com. You can find all our social media links, our subreddit, our Discord, all that stuff. You can follow me on social media at Tom Reynolds.
Follow me at Your Pal Tim. Hey, you on Blue Sky, Tom?
Yes, I am.
Blue Sky's the only one I like.
I don't
like
really look at it, though. So.
It's the only one I look at. So hit me up on Blue Sky. At me on Blue Sky.
You can
one tweet. I got one post.
You can also check out our Patreon, patreon.com/completeguide. We do books of podcasts every week, except this week. Oh, no, we are doing books of podcasts this week about a short book.
David Lynch, Catching the Big Fish.
Yeah, about the making of the movie Big Fish.
Nah, I don't think so, Tommy. That was a Tim Burton movie.
Yeah, but he...
Once we read the book, we'll sort this out.
No, it's about like creativity and meditation.
Mostly meditation.
So, yeah. If that sounds right up your alley, patreon.com/completeguide. Tim, I want one of the last things I wanted to talk about with this Tom Morey guy is, you know, he was like a real, I don't want to say hippie, I guess like a free spirit. Cool guy. He was married twice, I think, but
nice. Did he murder his first wife?
No, but his second wife, Marcia, not sure.
Marcia.
Oh, Marcia, I think maybe. She was known as the mother of bodyboarding.
Oh, cool.
But they had four kids. Listen to these kids' names. Soul.
Okay.
Like the sun, S-O-L.
Oh, okay. I like
Soul,
that.
Moon, Sky, and Madison.
Oh, Madison. Was Madison like 15 years younger than the rest of them, too?
I don't know. But it's like, is that good to have like the only like a normal name, or is it like, oh, I guess like by the time I was born, my parents like straightened up and got corporate and were like, we can't keep giving our kids these damn hippie names.
Well, what would the other one, like Star or Constellation or
Soul, Moon, Sky? Yeah, it could be Star. I mean, it could
Soul,
be
Moon, Fry.
So yeah, it could be Fry. It could be anything. Sunflower, flower, just flower, surf.
No, it's gotta snake. Be sky related, Tom. Or the heavens.
Cloud? Yeah.
Not high enough. Satellite.
But yeah, I mean they don't have stars, so it could have just been star.
Yeah.
Galaxy. Any of those things. Anything other than Madison.
Yeah. Madison's a good name.
Not when you got a sibling named Moon.
You know what? Actually, like maybe like Madison's like, phew, dodged a bullet on this one.
Yeah, he's currently the CEO of Whammo.
See you next week.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.